Chapter 1. Yes, the realm of fairy tales does have a history. This is the story of one of its kingdoms, Arho. Its capital city, RQ, had a variety of buildings of varying sizes and purpose, all with the usual features to be found in the world of make-believe. Prominent at RQ's heart stood the royal palace, with its lofty towers, open balconies, ornate gardens, and gilded gates. Nearby there were a magnificent cathedral, an assortment of splendid mansions, and an imposing castle, where their king and his counselors met, all overlooking an open space where people from far and near wanting to buy and sell goods regularly met. One of the mansions was particularly sturdy, built to be both a home in times of peace and a fortress in times of conflict. It belonged to Harry Indolder, a shrewd, nonchalant, well-built man in his early 40s who was very fond of the comforts of home. Our story begins one day a long, long time ago, long before portable telephones with catchy jingles had been invented, when carts pulled by donkeys rolled along on solid wooden wheels. Harry, as usual, was at home in a large upstairs room, sitting in his favourite chair by the fire in the company of his two friends, Eric Shemout and Frank Telslow. Outside, the sun was shining brightly, and it was fine and warm, but Harry liked to have his fire lit. He liked to watch its flickering flames. Eric, a younger man, handsome, fair, and with a slight hint of determination in his eyes, was quietly sitting opposite. And Frank, looking out from an open window, was watching people below, busily buying and selling goods in the marketplace. Frank was roughly the same age and build as Eric, but usually not so carefully groomed. He had been a keen enough intellect, but was not quite as perceptive as his two companions. Frank was watching people busily buying and selling goods in the marketplace. The afternoon drifted along lazily. The market has a lot more stalls than it had only a few years ago. It seems a lot bigger, Frank idly remarked. It is bigger, Harry replied. There's a lot more stuff to be sold. It's because of all the fine summers we've been having. The crops have been good, and the chickens and pigs have all grown fatter. And there's not been any serious wars for quite a while. That has helped, added Eric. Frank continued watching the people below busily going about their business. After a while, he commented, There seems to be a lot of money changing hands. I can see lots of gold coins glistening in the sunlight. Some of the traders have sold out already and are going home with very full pouches. Yes, and some might end up not having such a good day, Harry responded. Recently, some traders have been robbed of their takings after a day at the market. Some returned home with very nasty injuries and no money. You'd think they'd take more care of their money.
Traders were robbed, and their donkeys frightened away after a day at the market.
Yes, but what could they do? Some have to pass by the forest on their way home to farms and villages. Frank and Harry continued exchanging comments about the market, the traders, and the robbers who lurked in the forest. But Eric didn't add anything more to the conversation. He was thinking. Later at home in bed, he was still thinking. Nancy, one of his kitchen maids, snuggled up to him, trying to arouse his interest. But Eric, quite uncharacteristically, had no enthusiasm for what she had in mind. When she was unable to gain the attention she desired, Nancy turned her back to him and sulked before going to sleep. Eric continued thinking. He stayed awake for most of the night. The following day, back in Harry's place, he told Frank and Harry of a plan he thought they would find interesting. He started by asking Harry, How's the old dungeon down in your basement? It's fine, I guess. Probably a bit dirty and damp, Harry answered. I've not been down there for a while. Why do you ask? Let's go down and have a look, and I'll tell you, Eric responded. All right, if that's what you want. Down in the dungeon, they looked around, knocking cobwebs away and trying to avoid standing in the worst of the grunge scattered about the floor. After a while that seemed far too long to the others, Eric said, You know this place could be converted into a very fine strong room. What for? Harry asked. Yesterday you were talking about market traders who were robbed of their takings. Do you remember?
Yes, the other two responded.
Well, I've been thinking. For a modest fee, we could offer to store their gold safely in a secure strong room, this dungeon. Harry thought about it for a while. There are quite a few market traders. It would only be worthwhile if a good number of them wanted to use the service. And gold coins all look the same. How would we keep track of whose gold we were storing? I've thought of that, Eric responded. We'll give them written acknowledgement of having received their gold. Receipts or vouchers or whatever you want to call them, showing how much they deposited with us.
And do you think they'd trust us? A lot of market traders have known us for a long time. Of course they'd trust us. They'd know we wouldn't be able to run off with their gold. We'd give them vouchers with elaborate hard-to-copy printed patterns, each bearing our signatures and a promise that it could be exchanged for their gold at any time.